What are your dreams? What are your hopes and dreams? Where do you dream that you might be able to live? What do you dream that you could do all day without interruption? What do you dream that you might achieve in your life? What do you dream that you might achieve in the next 10 years? What do you dream for your family? For your children or grandchildren or children yet to be? What are your dreams? Dreams change as you get older, don't they? I used to dream of staying up all night. And now I dream of staying in bed all night. Surely I'm not alone in that. I have no doubt that most of us, if not all of us, have achieved some dreams that we've set out to accomplish. We've done things that we have always dreamed of doing. And yet we still have other dreams, new dreams, things that we have not yet accomplished. And so we know something of what it is like to achieve a dream, but none of us have ever achieved everything that we have ever dreamed of. And that is really today's question in our What If series. What if you achieved all of your dreams? Every single one. What if you achieved everything that you ever set out to accomplish in your life? What would happen? What would it mean? And this morning we're going to consider this question, what if you achieved all of your dreams? And we'll consider it with the help of two stories of Jesus in the Bible. One, a true story about a rich man who meets Jesus that was just read for us. And what a story that Jesus tells to a crowd of people. Why do we need dreams? Well, dreams are important. Dreams are important because humans are creatures of hope. We need hope as human beings. I wonder if you remember a time where either you or someone that you know described their situation as hopeless, when there was no hope of any good outcome at all. Feeling hopeless is a very dark space to live in. There is nothing good about being hopeless. Humans need hope. We need something to look forward to, something to strive for, something to achieve. And it doesn't really matter whether your hope is to run a marathon or your hope is simply to get out of bed in the morning. Both psychologically achieve the same thing. They give you something to look forward to, something to work towards. Of course, if your hope is to get out of bed just because you are lazy, that might not have the same effect, but for some people, getting out of bed in the morning is a significant milestone to achieve. And so at one level, it doesn't really matter what your dreams are. It's more important that we have dreams, that we have hopes, that we have goals, that we have things to look forward to, because humans need hope. And dreams are the agents of our hope. They are the things that we long for. We hope because we dream of something better. We dream of a better future for ourselves and for those we love. The story that was read for us this morning in Matthew features a man who has gone a long way to achieving his dreams. And yet the story comes with a twist that reveals a problem that is probably common with many of our dreams. In Matthew 19, we meet this man who comes to Jesus, and he comes with a question. What does he want? Of course, he asked Jesus, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life? But I want to suggest this is probably not his main desire in this story. As the story plays itself out, it seems the man isn't so interested in answers. What he seeks more is validation. In response to the first question the man asks, Jesus quotes some of God's commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, who of us here could say that we have kept all of these commandments, just these ones? I suspect we know we've all failed at some point. Who has always honored their father and mother? Or loved their neighbor as themselves? And yet this man's response to Jesus is stunning. He says, all these I've kept. What do I still lack? Now we might think, that's a really stupid answer. How could you believe that you have kept all of these commandments? But the man seems sincere in his answer. And Jesus doesn't even question his truthfulness. He doesn't say, whoa, hang on a second. I think you've misunderstood how good you really are. No, he doesn't say that. This man comes to Jesus as a teacher looking for Jesus to affirm how good he has been. He wants Jesus to say to him, well done. No one's kept these commands before, but you have done a great job. But of course, Jesus doesn't give him that validation. And his dreams of being good enough come crashing down in verse 21. Where Jesus unpacks his whole problem before his very eyes. Verse 21, Jesus says, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. No doubt all of his life, this man has dreamed of being perfect in his obedience. He can say, all of these I have kept. And Jesus reveals that he has been looking to fulfill his dreams in all of the wrong places. When Jesus tells him to sell all he has, he's not saying that this is what all Christians should do. It is Jesus' way of highlighting to this man that his problem is that he has treasured good deeds and earthly possessions. His attempt to achieve his goals in life with earthly means, and now he is looking for validation that he is indeed good enough. And Jesus' answer says, no, it's not about you. It is about God. You need treasure in heaven. That is what you lack. The only way to be perfect, to inherit eternal life, as you have always dreamed of, is to depend on God for it, and not yourself, not your actions, not your possessions. And this is the twist in the story. He has had a goal in mind to achieve, and all of his efforts have not given him what he truly desired. Although he has strived to keep God's commandments, it seems he has done so not so much to honor God, but for his own personal gain. And by relying on his own goodness and obedience, he's actually been working against God's plans and purposes all along. He has been doomed to fail. The story finishes with the man walking away sad because he had many possessions. And I suspect there's two reasons for this. Firstly, of course, it would be very costly to give away an awful lot of possessions. That's a reason to be sad. But secondly, his great wealth only further highlights how far he has missed the mark. His riches remind him of all of his efforts that he has spent, and yet he is no closer to gaining what he seeks. And this reveals the problem with many of the dreams that you and I might have. Our dreams are often too small. When we dream of a better future for ourselves and for those we love, we are usually limited to thinking about ourselves and what we might do. Just think for a moment about your dreams, the things that you hope to achieve. How many of them are limited by what you think you are able to do? We have a God who is powerful enough to do anything. He made the world. And yet I suspect for most of us, in many of our dreams, we haven't even considered where God might fit. And it might be like the man in this story, because ultimately our dreams are at odds with God's plans and purposes for us and for the world. It's quite hard to consider God's role in our dreams when our dreams haven't been shaped by God from the very beginning. So we come to our question. What would happen if you achieved all of your dreams? What would happen? Let me suggest four things. Firstly, you would be happy. I think it's fair to say that is the simplest emotion we would expect if we achieved all of our dreams. It would be a good thing, would it not? When you go on that holiday you've always dreamed of, or you pay off all of your debts, or you have the perfect marriage, or your kids turn out just the way you wanted, you'd be happy, wouldn't you? That would be a normal expectation. But secondly, I think we would find that our happiness would be temporary. I've discovered two things in life about happiness. Firstly, happiness is always temporary. After a while, whatever made you happy, it ceases to have the same effect on you. It wears off. And secondly, your level of happiness does not always grow at the same rate as the size of your dreams. You would expect small gains in happiness when you achieve small dreams, and big gains in happiness when you achieved big dreams. I mean, would you expect today to be happier from eating an ice cream or from heading off on that great holiday? The holiday, right? You would expect that would make you happier. You might have planned the holiday for weeks or months. You've saved for it, you've worked out your itinerary, your expectations are high. But the ice cream, well, you've only just thought about it. Maybe you've been thinking about it for the last week with 40 degree weather, but that's about it. And you know that it's just an ice cream. Like, there aren't great expectations for how happy an ice cream will make you. But the holiday, well, you've waited months for this. You've got all sorts of expectations about what you will do, how it will make you feel, and sometimes it meets those expectations, doesn't it? Sometimes it even exceeds our expectations. And maybe this is just me, but often my level of expectation of how happy a holiday will make me feel, it doesn't quite give me the same value as an ice cream does. See, as good as a holiday might be, as happy as I might feel, it comes to an end, doesn't it? It finishes. You have to come back to your normal life. If you don't, you're not actually on holidays. And sometimes before the holiday is even over, you're already dreading the end of it. You look forward to, or you look forward to the end of it maybe, to sleeping in your own bed again, being in your own house, eating real food. See, no matter what your dreams might be, no matter how happy they might make you feel, sooner or later the happiness fades. And you can't just keep going back for more. I can tell you, eating your 10th ice cream for the day doesn't have the same effect as the first ice cream. In fact, it has quite the opposite. Our happiness would only be temporary if we achieved our dreams. Thirdly, we would find that we would still want more. Even if we did everything we set out to achieve, we would still want more. I mean, even if you achieved all of the things that you have dreamed of in your life, what then? What do you do next? I mean, you'd have nothing to look forward to, would you? Or more likely, you would find that your dreams weren't big enough. They wouldn't give you the satisfaction or the contentment that you desired. And you'd still want more. John D. Rockefeller was born in 1839. He lived 97 years. At his peak, he had a net worth of about 1% of the entire US economy. He owned more than 90% of all the oil and gas industry of his time, and is generally considered to be the wealthiest American of all time and the richest person in modern history. This man knew money. He's richer than Bill Gates. And one time a reporter came to ask him, "How much money is enough?" And he replied, "Just a little bit more." You can have all of the money in the world and you would still want more. Fourthly, I think you would find ultimately disappointment. If you achieved all of your dreams would probably not give you what you hoped or expected they would give you. Many people have simple dreams of becoming rich and famous, and yet the world of sports stars and movie stars who have become rich and famous is full of people whose lives are a mess, who are extremely disappointed that all of their dreams did not give them what they truly desired. Riches and fame didn't provide them with what they had hoped it would. There is a fascinating documentary on Netflix about the actor Jim Carrey. And putting aside what you might think of his movies, it's quite an insightful look into the world of somebody who has been rich and famous. And I love this quote in particular from him. He says, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." And the documentary is fascinating in showing how challenging he has found being rich and famous, and that it has not provided one thing that he hoped it might. For many of us, if we achieved all of our hopes and dreams, we would probably be disappointed. It would not have given us what we desired. Friends, I want to suggest this morning that we need bigger and better dreams. Humans need hope. We need to dream about the future. But most of the time, our dreams are too small. Many of our dreams are limited only by ourselves and what we might do. But God is bigger and better than any dream we might have. And God's plans for us and for our world are better than any dreams we might have. Jesus once told a story about a rich man, which goes like this. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like a dream that many people have, doesn't it? But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Here is a man who dreams of riches and taking life easy. It's a common dream, but it's a very, very small dream. In fact, it's a foolish dream. We need bigger and better dreams that are deeply shaped by Jesus. Dreams that begin by asking, what is Jesus doing in us? What is Jesus doing in our world? We need dreams that align with God's plans and purposes. So let me ask you, what do you dream that God would change in you this year? What do you dream that God would do in our church? What do you dream that God would do in the city of Blacktown? We have a big God, and we ought to dream big, to pursue these dreams and work at them with a prayerful dependence on Jesus, that we ask God to shape our dreams to be aligned with his plans and purposes. Because God is bigger and better than any dream that we might have. And his plans for us and for our world are bigger and better than any dreams we might have. Friends, we have a wonderful God who wants so much more for us than riches and pleasures, than holidays and ice creams. Let us pray that our dreams might be shaped by him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is bigger than we could imagine and better than we could imagine. Father, help us not be like the men in these stories from Jesus. Help us not be people with small dreams of riches and fame and rest. Help us not be people who dream of achieving things on our own. God, please give us dreams that align with your plans and purposes. Help us to know and trust your goodness, your power, and that you want what is good for us and for your glory. Help us to dream big for Jesus' sake. Amen.